Welcome, everybody, to episode 375 of Mighty Number 9. RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, the Frosty One himself will be joining us momentarily. Gentlemen, how are you?
Whenever he kicks Skype in the knots, Wolfman's got nards.
Right in the junk on the Skype. He's having some Skype issues. Gentlemen, how was your week, Eric?
It was okay for the most part.
Yeah?
Got through another 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go through another 2 weeks with available money because I immediately have to spend it on rent.
Damn rent.
So instead, I just bought a gigantic sack of potatoes, some ramen, and I'm going to live off of that for the next 2 weeks and some cereal.
Yeah, not a bad idea, dude. That sounds actually kind of tasty. Cereal.
See, the potatoes are good dinners. You just wash those things off, throw in the microwave or in the stove, and got some butter and some salt, maybe. And you got a dinner.
Yeah, there you go.
And the sack probably had like at least 20 potatoes in it. So
good. You should be good, man. It's kind of sad that you have to eat potatoes every day, but you know you got to do what you gotta
do. Good, I got though. 6 tomatoes too. So
that's yeah, there you go. There you go. A little variety in your life, man. How about you, Break?
More lunch meat and cheese for sandwiches for lunch.
What about you, Break?
Wait, what are we talking about again?
You're weak.
Were we talking about ramen noodles? Because I'm kind of hungry now.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we should just cancel the show and go eat ramen noodles, man. Sounds good.
It's not as good as Japanese ramen where you get all that kinds of shit in it, not cheap instant lunch shit.
Oh, no question, man. The Japanese noodles rock. I wish I could get some here, man. All right, Break. What about you?
They don't have any places like that there? You can really find them in Cali, but...
Yeah, probably California, man. Skype has nards.
You guys got all that pot there. Isn't there like a restaurant on every corner now?
You would think, but
you live in the Midwest. You'd think there'd be more Asian places there.
It's actually more just true. West, dude. It's like I don't even consider this Midwest. It's just West, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like it's
more so than
the whole Midwest thing is so weird because we're considered Midwest too in Ohio.
Because really? We're not quite New England, so that's why we're not East.
We're more like Mideast, but nobody wants to say the Mideast.
Yeah.
We're the Mideast.
I think it's because they just lump us in with all the other rural states. Yeah,
probably, guys. All right, y'all, let's get started with news. Eric, get us started, please.
Okay, first from Megamatsu is an announcement for Valkyria Chronicles Remastered coming west this spring.
All right.
And it's going to be both physical and a digital release, and it will cost $29.99 or Canadian $44.99.
What's the exchange rate on Canadian money? Isn't it like almost one-to-one?
Actually, they have to pay a little bit more for things. Their dollar has gotten weaker.
Ah, well, that sucks for Canada. Just get it from the United States, I guess. You know, $29.99, not a bad
stuff in UK is expensive just because of shitty pricing parity nonsense.
Yeah. Well, not a bad deal for us. $29.99. That's not bad at all.
But it says it's gonna run at 1080p at 60 frames per second, so it's more in line with the PC release that happened a couple years ago. And Japanese and English audio support, but I think that was in the original game too, so it doesn't matter. And it includes all the original downloadable content and trophy support for those who care about that stuff.
Do people still care about trophies?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that just trophy hunt.
Really? Huh. I thought that was kind of waning. I don't hear too much.
I don't know. Like I don't have trophies, but I have achievements in Xbox, and it gives you kind of a goal. If you really like the game, why not?
Yeah.
Anyways, it's something to try for.
If you're getting this in Japan, which it comes out next month, it'll come with a demo for Valkyria Azure Revolution. But Sega didn't say anything about that for North America. But I think the game also has a special limited case version you can get.
Yeah, how much is that going to cost? Probably $49.99.
I'm sure that's more like $50.
For a metal case, that's what you're getting with the special edition. Metal case, that's cool. Whatever. All right, break.
What we got? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just, maybe it is the standard version, but they're deciding to do this for first print or something.
Oh, I see. A limited number of launch edition retail copies. There you go. Yeah. That's what it is. So I don't mind that. Get on, you know, get on that whole thing. SMT just joined us in chat. What's up, SMT? All right, break.
What do we got? Ooh, I get to read the story that's pissing off the internet. Nice.
Yes, this is a hot topic.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Mighty Number 9 delayed until spring of 20XX. Concept has delayed Mighty Number 9 from its previous planned February 9th release date to spring of 20XX due to bugs within the game's network modes. Oh, God.
Seriously, why is a single-player game like this even need network modes?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to complain. I just wanted to get it right.
Something they should have just made afterwards, like the Shonai guys did with all their extra content they're doing.
And let's start the quote here. Unfortunately, we have an announcement that will be very disappointing to all of you. In preparation for the February release of Mighty Number 9, we have been working hard with our partners to resolve any network issues and porting work necessary to publish Mighty Number 9 on various platforms. However, the issues related to the network modes were more critical than expected, and it has become apparent that we will need to delay the game from its February 9th release date. Oh, I thought there's going to be more. We have been working up until the very last moment to resolve these issues in order to make the February release, but it's become clear that we are no longer have enough time to fix those issues. Really, at the end of January, just realize that. The reason for the delay is rooted in bugs inside the network modes, and specifically problems with matchmaking. There are two large reasons for the problem, one of them being a large number of platforms supported, and the other stems from the fact that the engine we are using is no longer being updated, which means adjustments for matchmaking and online codes are being made manually. Oh, that sucks. Unfortunately, this is a result of miscalculations on the part of us, the development staff. Wow, owning it. I like that. As a result, our fans who have been looking forward to Mighty Number 9 have been forced to wait for over half a year longer than expected, and for that, we are sincerely sorry. Apology accepted. Just kidding.
Yeah, of course, no, I don't really care. They're all like, lies.
I want to take the chance to apologize personally on behalf of the development staff. I really don't think the apology is necessary. Over the end of the year break in the beginning of 20XX, the development staff has been working on these issues nonstop without break. Well, yeah, if you would have called me. And thanks to their hard work and their hard work and ends is in sight. We continue to make progress to resolve these last issues and have been holding up the release of the game on different platforms. My God, there's more. Because we are constantly working on it in cooperation with all of our partners, we want to wait and make sure that everything is confirmed, be ready before giving a new specific release date. But we expect it to realistically be in spring of 20XX. For the third, which is, April through June, For the third delay of the game, we have no excuses for disappointing our fans and especially our backers once more. We want to take the chance to express our sincerest apologies, which apparently the internet doesn't care about, to everyone who has looked forward to the release. Final paragraph. Although we are far past our original release date, the release of Mighty Number 9 is still right around the corner. For fuck's sake, really? You didn't need to say this. We're all working hard to make sure that we can finish and release the game to all of our fans as quickly as possible. And ask once more for your support of this project, and we have created together that over these last few years. Good God, Internet. Relax. Is a fucking long apology letter. This is more than most people like say, even. I mean, he
does more than most publishers today doing AAA games.
Yeah.
They'll release a buggy game. And
yeah, Inafune did it right. This is a heartfelt apology. I mean, there really is no need to apologize. Look, if the game needs a little polish.
You should really just apologize for overcommitting to the project.
Yeah, maybe a slight apology.
I don't think he needs to apologize for that. Maybe. Not a formal apology. Maybe it's maybe I bit off a little bit more than I can chew, but
yeah.
I'm still working on it.
Well,
you know?
I don't regret backing it, though.
No, you shouldn't.
Even paying the $40 for the extra digital soundtrack and art book I'm getting.
Yeah, no, I think that he did it the right way. Like, he mentioned the backers, which is important. That those are the people, like yourself, Eric, that, you know, and I'm sure you did too, Ray, because you're an Inafune fan for sure.
I backed him in spirit.
You know, I think he did a good job on this. So.
Right. I mean, yeah, like the internet silver needs to
lining,
grow up.
Another silver lining of this is if they when they do fix the netcode, it might teach them lessons if he ever decides to make a sequel to Soul Sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have bugs, you obviously don't want bugs. I mean, that's just how it is.
I'm glad they're taking Moria can join us now.
Well, I'm trying to call him. He's not answering the phone. SMT says he was joking about.
I think you might get the wrong contact.
I don't know, man. I'm just calling the number that's there. Anyways, SMT says he joked about it being delayed, and then all of a sudden it was delayed. So we can blame SMT for that in chat. So everybody blame SMT. And then Dungeon Buster says at least it wasn't delayed to 2018 like another.
Yeah, this isn't Duke Nukem Forever, people. Relax. Yeah. This is a game that's going to come out. They just need more time to make sure it's right.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's no big deal. It's going to be out this year, you know. So let's move
on. And you know what? If they need more time and it doesn't come out until next year, I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Then we start getting to really what's the problem, because they've got six months to take care of the supposed bugs, dude. I think
while they're working on these bugs, they come across something. They're like, that would be flipping awesome. Why don't we put this in the game?
Yeah. Hey, is Mug on the line with us? No.
Can you hear me?
I told you probably had the wrong one.
No,
Frank.
I had the right one. Damn it, Eric.
Frank lets the right ones in.
That's right. Just like the movie.
That's the weirdest for us.
Hey, Mug, it says your Skype's not up to date. That's why you're having issues, dude.
I actually can't uninstall Skype.
Ugh. Boy,
somehow an old version was installed on top of my new version. I'm having to get to use this through my phone.
How nice.
Yeah.
We were just talking
about I've got to figure out what I need to do, like some kind of registry cleanup or some shit, because right now it's like the Windows thing is trying to, you know, troubleshoot the uninstall, you know, thing for Skype, and it's been sitting here, you know, spinning for about 10 minutes now.
No worries, man.
And Frank, I didn't have it as a story, but do you want to talk about the Fire Emblem Fates fiasco?
Nah, let's just move on, dude. We've got plenty to talk about today, like this story from Gamatsu. Coven and Labyrinth of Refrain delayed to June 23rd in Japan. Speaking of delays, guys, Nipponichi.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking? Oh my god! For fuck's sake, I gotta get on Twitter and complain about this. It's fucking ridiculous.
Nipponichi has announced another delay for its PS Vita dungeon RPG Coven and Labyrinth of Refrain in Japan. After previously being delayed to March 17th, the publisher has delayed it again to June 23rd. The company says the reason is to further improve the game's quality. Now, this is a bullshit reason. Improve the game's quality? I understand bugs, right? But when you talk game's quality...
That's probably what they meant, though.
It's just a corporate buzzword.
Yeah, that's all it
is. Quality is meaningless. It's an umbrella term for any other shit that's like, we don't want this stuff shipping with.
Yeah. So then they can go on to talk about the game itself. But yet another delay, man. I mean, what can you do? I mean, there's nothing anybody can do, you know?
Hey, I'd rather they delay it than release it too early.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I agree with that 100%.
Looking at you, Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider for PC, which apparently is not optimized.
Yeah. Well, speaking of delays, Eric, why don't you read the next story?
Next story is not delays, actually.
No, but
We can't read it then.
No. But it's kind of out.
Welcome to RP Delayers, and I'm
it says it's coming, but it's actually out now. It came out yesterday. In fact, it came out. This is Final Fantasy Tactics is available on the Wii U Virtual Console in Europe and North America for once. Square actually decided to put a. Or asked Nintendo if they could put a game on their store, and Nintendo said yes.
I know.
And then they said, what? Really?
here's how the virtual console works is a company can't just put a game on there. Basically, they have to ask Nintendo to code the emulator because it's not just one unified emulator and games run off of it. They have to actually code the emulator for each game that gets put on the store.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's out now.
So Nintendo has the final say in whether or not a game can even go on the store in the first place. So they hold all the cards.
Yeah.
The only reason I can think of that being a thing would be if there's some kind of licensing issue because it's considered a separate release and is maybe not included within the terms of a given contract. But otherwise, I don't see we have a digital version of this. Maybe if they pay for bandwidth.
I do know that in Europe, I think Final Fantasy VI Advance launched. So maybe it might be get that in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I like to play that one over the Steam one any day.
Yeah, Tactics out now on the Wii U Virtual Console. So that's
like Advance that much. I mean, it was fun, but the whole punishment jurist system was just retarded. Mm. They fixed it in A2 apparently. So it was you do this, then you don't get this reward for the battle.
At a certain point, at the beginning, yeah, the judge system is a pain in the ass. But when it gets later in the game, you start manipulating it to your advantage, which is a lot of fun.
Or you could just get other skills that you don't have to rely on the other ones.
That's what I do for most of the beginning of the game. But once you get to the later levels where you can change the laws in your favor, like make it so the enemies can't attack or stuff like that, that's actually fun.
It's fun when they don't attack.
Basically, like you said, so nobody can attack, and then you just use skills, and your enemies are sitting there like, what can I do?
Yeah.
They can't do nothing.
Hey, I wish I could get into those games.
Yeah, I can't.
Just like, I love Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, like just that tactical stuff. I've tried Final Fantasy Tactics, and it's just like, I really want to like this. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I can't stop playing them.
Yeah, see, yeah. I'm with Mug on this. I don't have the attention span, I guess.
I know you guys don't, but like me, I'm just one more game. I gotta get that next skill. I gotta level this. Yeah. Come on, it's one more game.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It's one of those games that'll just doesn't grab me, I guess. Mm. I mean, I've gotten pickier.
Fine. I mean, everybody has games that are,
Yeah. I know. It's frustrating when, it's a game that you want to, and that's like, this game has, some appeal for me. And supposedly, the story's really good. No idea how it all plays out.
Hey, Mug, do you have your stories up by chance, or no?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Right. But is that a hint that you'd like for me to shut up and move on to the next story?
No, continue on.
I thought it was a hint. Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, right, dude. It's like, I'm not even going to give you shit about it. Just like,
no,
like,
man.
Basically, he's playing. Yeah, Frank is playing me off.
No, continue on, my friend. Feel free to ramble. It's good. Full.
We are kind of rambling. I'll go ahead and move on to the next.
Maybe you can ramble on about the next story, Mug.
That's
not a bad segue. I like that. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu, the Great Detective Pikachu announced for 3DS, which for some reason has Pikachu with a Sherlock Holmes hat.
Yeah, he's a detective now.
Yeah, I know. The Pokemon Company has announced the Great Mouse Detective Pikachu. Sorry, the Great Mouse Pokemon Detective Pikachu thing. The Great Mouse, okay. The Great Detective Pikachu.
The Great Lawsuit Pikachu.
Birth of a new sub-franchise for 3DS.
Yes, exactly.
The Nintendo eShop title is due out next Wednesday, February 3rd, for 1,500 yen in Japan. Preload is available from January 27th. A cinematic adventure game. What the fuck does that mean? Great Detective Pikachu is set in Rhymes, Crime City. Not Crime City, but Rhymes. Rhyme City, where Pokemon and people live together. A young boy named Tim, there are some who call me Tim, to the city to fulfill a certain purpose. Here he meets Pikachu, and a new story begins. Why does this sound like a really bad movie version of Pokemon?
I think it sounds like a bad movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the preview.
Like an 80s, like an E.T. rip-off version of Pokemon. It's like Mac and Me or something.
Do you guys want to...
Check the heading. Are we reading Gematsu, or is this the...
And if you've seen some of the pictures, Pikachu looks pretty frumpy grumpy.
Hey, do you guys want to listen to...
And some people want Danny DeVito to do his voice, because apparently this Pikachu can speak English.
Do you guys want
Dan DeVito would be great.
do you guys want to listen to the preview for this new Pikachu game?
Go for it.
Let's listen on in.
This will be the Japanese, by the way.
A bunch of Japanese language stuff that I don't understand.
It's all set in Boston.
Whoa, it's like live action. It's kind of cool.
It's actually not live action.
Where did he go?
Are you okay?
Let's go, buddy.
All right, I'm going to stop this nonsense because I can't tell what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hearing bits and pieces of it, but I thought we were going to be hearing, you know, Pikachu speak.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you did a couple of times, but it
was. I was kind of wondering why you like stopped translating because I was enjoying your translation.
I actually was enjoying the translation too, man. But it's kind of hard to hear, man.
It's like I can never tell if what I'm saying when you're playing something like that. I can never tell if what I'm saying is actually getting through. Yeah. Or anyone can hear it, so
no, I can hear you just a little bit.
Yeah, we heard you. Let's see. SMT says in Japan, the narrator of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure voices the Pikachu.
That's kind of amazing. Huh?
That's
kind of
cool.
I've not watched JoJo's yet. I have season one. It's a shame that we probably won't get season three, and who knows when season two will come out because Warner Brothers kind of fucked up its release. Yeah. But
isn't that series plagued by licensing problems as far as localizing goes?
No, they got around it. They just named the characters not based off of.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like they were named.
They named
after
them enough so that you can get the reference, but the reference is not direct anymore.
Yeah. So weren't they named after like metal bands or something like that?
Yeah, like one of them's Dio, and he's the villain of the series.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, like I remember Bastard did the same thing.
All right, break. Let's move on to the next story.
Yay, me. Oh, God. Coming to us live from my reading group, Silicon Era. Long Gone Days, an RPG with a story 12 years in the making. Really? Chilean artist Camila Gormaz has announced her upcoming RPG, Long Gone Days. Whoa, we don't really often hear about RPGs from women.
No.
She's been developing the story and characters for the past 12 years. The characters
people
have been
from Chile, anyway.
Yeah, that's true too. But just the fact that it's a woman making an RPG, like usually it's, you know, it's hard for women to break through.
How do you know it's a woman break? Camila.
What's that? If they're indie, it's actually not that hard.
Because it says her in the story and she.
Camila. That's and a pretty feminine name.
Camila, yeah. The characters have been grown by my side, and I finally feel it's the moment to release their stories, says Gormaz. It follows the story of a man called Rourke who is designated to be a soldier from birth. Well, that sucks. He lives in the core of the earth. Well, that sucks too, which is invisible to everyone outside of it. And where the state and it decides everyone's roles and trains them to be experts from a young age.
It's Futurama.
After being deployed in the you have to get your wrist scanned after they put stuff in. After being deployed in the surface, after being deployed to the surface, Rourke finds himself in a world full of new things, and for the first time in his prefabricated life, he feels like he has a choice. Driven by his will to be free, he does the impossible to desert his post and convince others. Not really knowing the overall consequences of his actions. Long Gone Days will have quests, lots of dialogue, and turn-based battles. There will be no random encounters. I like that. There will also be There will also be a couple of mini games in which characters are said to try to break out their bubbles and learn about social conventions.
I don't know what that means.
I think
that means teenagers learning life.
No, it's sex. Yeah. It's about sex. I'm just kidding. You're probably right. You have to take charge of your party, ensure sure to say the right things to each member in order to keep their morale high. You have to kiss your party's ass.
Yeah.
If a party member's morale is right, if your party morale is too low, they won't fight for you. Exactly like Mass Effect.
Yeah, actually, it's closer to Dragon Age.
Like yeah, I wouldn't know because I sucked up to my party in Mass Effect. I was always nice to him. When assembling a party, other than considering the different abilities of members in battle, you may want interpreters who can translate different languages so you can compete quests with NPCs who speak a language other than English.
I like that concept.
That sounds really good. What was this called again?
Long Gone Daves. This sounds like an interesting RPG. I think we should all check this out. But what's it coming to? Because
it doesn't say, man.
I'm going to assume it's a PC release.
Yeah, it just says PC.
Probably.
Damn it.
Yeah, probably. It's PC.
I hope this comes to, like, this is something I'd love to play.
This is something completely different from what we normally hear about RPGs. And that's what
What's weird is, there's the screenshots are, like, animated GIFs of them.
Yeah.
And it makes me think kind of it's like a modern indie Maniac Mansion in its appearance.
Yeah, I could see that, Mug.
I love Maniac Mansion.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably not going to be anything like that. I just mean like the aesthetic of it. I was like, yeah, I can kind of see this. Yeah. But yeah, this actually sounds really interesting.
No, I'm intrigued for sure.
Yeah, this looks way different and sounds way different from most RPGs we see, which I've been craving something different, you know?
I actually want some RPGs with more mature themes. I know I've talked about it on the show before, but I really think the time has passed for like little kiddie, Pikachu games.
I want more character development.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with them. I just said that.
I don't like your insinuation by calling it kitty.
What?
I want to love characters.
Kitty though? I missed that.
Pretty much.
Dude, make no bones about it, Eric. Those games are geared for kids, dude. They're not.
Games?
The Pokemon games. They're not geared for adults.
They are geared towards all ages. I mean, for kids.
I understand that.
I know, it almost sounds like Frank was just using an excuse to not play it.
No, I'm not using that as an excuse to not play it. I played a couple Pokemon games. They're good games. They're just not my thing. I've talked about that before.
I've seen a lot of gameplay from them. It's like, you know, it's kind of how I feel about the Mario games. Like, you know, mechanically these are sound, and yeah, I can see why people would be into them, but it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, same thing here, Mug. Like, I've gotten past that point. It's not that you know, I wouldn't find them intriguing or watch other people play them. It's just not my thing. Dungeon Buster says, incidentally, speaking of Maniac Mansion, two of the designers behind it are making a new game called Thimbleweed Park. It's already pretty far in development. Sounds amazing. It looks amazing. It looks cool.
Breakman, would you like to know more?
Yeah. Would you like to know? All right, let's move on, Eric. Next story, please.
Oh, better yet. What? Would you like to know more?
No.
Next story is from Silicon Era. Tactics style RPG Arcadian Atlas will be debuted trailer at PAX South. It says it's a 2D isometric tactical RPG, and for those who don't know when PAX South is, it's between January 29th and the 31st.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's coming up.
So that'd be today and
today,
this
tomorrow,
weekend.
Yeah, all this weekend. So that's cool.
Looks nice.
Yeah, it looks nice. Like, they put a lot of detail into the game.
It says it's inspired by Final Fantasy Tactics and Tactics Ogre, but it aims to make that type of experience for the gaming landscape of today.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a 32-bit era game, which is pretty slick. I mean, it looks like something you might see on the Saturn.
Especially
since we've been inundated with 8-bit and 16-bit games, and games that are quote unquote called 16-bit, but they're actually more like 8-bit games, or vice versa.
Well, the 8 and 16 doesn't have anything to do with the color depth or the graphical style or anything like that. You know, it's complete misnomer. I mean, it's just how many colors you're putting on screen at once, really. Yeah. That doesn't have anything to do with the actual processors.
Super pretty.
Look really nice.
Yeah. Don't know about the content. Obviously, you have to wait.
I want to know all about this. I want to know more.
Yeah, what's that, Eric?
Do you want to know the story summary?
Go for it. Let's hear
it. In the world of Arcadian Alice, nothing is more brutal than love.
Wait. You should do it in like an announcer voice.
I can't do that.
Would you like for me to do that?
Go ahead.
I can do that.
In the world.
All right. And hang on. Let me get back to that story. In the world of Arcadian Atlas, nothing is more brutal than love. And when a kingdom is at stake, love will rip itself to shreds. Now two people are finding themselves engulfed in a civil war they never wanted. And when sides must be chosen, will they find themselves still standing together? Or will love leave anything standing at all?
I like it, Mug. Yes, I like that, man. We should have like a
Mug's the only doing the news.
Amateur voice cast.
Yeah,
we should each have like a announcer off type deal where we each like.
I think Moria just won.
Hey, don't discount me, buddy.
Let me be the Micro Machines guy.
Dude, I was drinking.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's move on to the next story from our favorite website, Silicon Era. Fire Emblem Fates DLC schedule released. Nintendo has released full DLC schedule for Fire Emblem Fates on the game's official website. From February 19th until the 21st of April, people will be able to get 13 different add-ons for the Nintendo 3DS game. 11 of the items are maps with varying rewards, but a gift from Anna and Revelation storyline will also be available. The Fire Emblem Fates Revelation storyline is the third path. This one allows a player to recruit all characters and see what happens if they choose not to pick a side. Be available March 10th and cost $20. Full schedule is as follows. You can pay $17.99 to get all 11 in the map pack 1. So then it goes February 19th all the way till the April 21st. On April 14th, people will also be able to get a free gift from Anna and the Dragon's Gate. We'll give players either one free sighting lens or the Witch's Mark, which whatever that is. So there you go, man.
That sounds dirty. I want to know more about that Witch's Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that's terrible. I think the content you're getting, new maps and shit for $18, there's tons. That's tons of content. Like, that's how DLC should be, not just, like, fucking suits and, you know, that shit's dumb. But, you know.
I don't mind stuff like, you know, aesthetic DLC if it's not too expensive.
I kind of
mind. And as long as it's not required. If it's something, like, extra, if you want to spend the money on it, because... Yeah, like for instance, Street Fighter 4, there are a lot of like costumes and stuff like that. And I've played against people online who want to decorate their character and stuff like that. I'm like, whatever, dude. It's your money. If you want to spend it that way, it's on you.
I agree with that. I think
it's about all that's keeping money. You know, Tecmo alive right now. Dead or Alive 5, literally hundreds of dollars worth of costume DLC in that game.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't like that shit. Like, who cares? Just play. You know, I like the days when you could unlock shit, like Mortal Kombat. And, you know, you could
Those are gone.
Yeah, those are way gone for sure. All right, let's move on to the next story, Breakman.
Ooh. I'm coming to us live from Silicon Era, which is above my reading level. PlayStation portable version of Breath of Fire 3 coming next coming west.
I like it.
Wait. PlayStation Portable.
Yeah, there's a PSP version of the game.
I know, but coming west?
Yeah.
Are we getting a new PSP game?
Capcom. Has Capcom finally decided to not be shit now?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing. That was when I was reading about the story of the Breath of Fire 3 for PSP never came to the US, right?
No. Mm-hmm. Only so released in Europe.
Okay, so this is still essentially for North America a new game.
Yeah, February of this year. Yeah,
yeah, a new PSP game, and you know, it's like it's not new, but it's no. I guess you would say it's no less new than when Xseed put out Trails in the Sky Second Chapter.
Yeah, Atlas has no excuse. They should localize. Yeah, they'd have to actually do localization work, but they should localize Persona 2 Eternal Punishment for the PSP.
Didn't that come out for the PSP?
No, they released the PlayStation version, which you can
play. Okay, I was going to say, because like, I knew there was a version of Persona 2, sorry.
That's what I thought,
that too. Was in that was in English, but that was just the PSP version that didn't come over.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
Well, as far as Breath of Fire, like, did they add anything to make it less confusing? No. So
I thought the Breath of Fire 3 port they actually put a decent amount of work into.
I think they redesigned the GUI a little bit to make it less cluttered, but that's all they really did.
Yeah. Well,
this bears investigating.
I like those games, but they have a bad problem of you'll get to a certain point in each one of these Breath of Fire games where you're like, what the hell am I supposed to do now?
No, the game's pretty linear.
No, like
it's a very simple world map, so you can only go to so many places.
I know, but they come down to like you didn't talk to you maybe missed talking to one person. What the hell? Who's Sorry. With the sound effects?
That was me looking up a thing for Breath of Fire 3 PSP.
Oh, I thought that was Frank with a soundboard.
Well, no. Breath of Fire 2's translation was notoriously awful.
Mm. Oh yeah, that one was painful.
And that had a fan retranslation. Which is actually
maybe that's what I'm thinking of, because I just remember the Breath of Fire game being like, just what the hell am I? Where am I going? Breath of
Fire 1 was only slightly cryptic, but that was Square Enix doing the translation.
Yeah,
and Square Enix.
Breath of Fire 2 was basically not just gibberish.
Yeah,
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It's been a long time since. I mean, this is the 90s.
Yeah, SMT says the US version was canceled because it didn't make Sony's requirement of 20% new content. So.
Sony had a lot of weird restrictions for the PSP back then.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's funny just because, you know, it was...
I think it's the reason that we also didn't get Tales of Eternia.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of surprising how much we actually did get, like how much support the system got given all the strictures that Sony put on it.
So, it's like Sony didn't want it to succeed or something.
Yeah, they learned from that mistake. They learned from that mistake, and they were able to exert more force on the Vita and definitely kept it from succeeding.
So the Vita is pretty much dead, right, guys?
Their war on the Vita was successful.
Yeah. What? Nobody else?
Although in Japan it actually sells.
Okay, Moria, I love what you did there. That was amazing. I can't believe nobody else laughed at that. That was really good, I can believe it. I got to give it to you.
That was
funny, man. Come on, give it up to Moria. Everybody applause.
All right. Woohoo. Here you go, man. Hey, the Vita's pretty much dead, right? I mean, there's nothing coming out on Vita worth note.
Third parties, that's true. Anything from Sony's not doing. Yeah, Sony is not doing anything for it anymore at all.
Yeah.
They've already classified this as a legacy platform, but other companies are they're still manufacturing the games, like the physical games.
Can anybody name me five great games on the PS Vita that I should be getting?
I have a question. Sony's always had like this 10-year plan with their systems. Is that the same thing with the portables?
No.
It can't be.
Trails of Cold Steel, but you can also get that on PS3. But it's still Persona a game 4, you can get on Vita.
Yeah, Persona 4 Golden. The Memories of Celceta. Gravity Rush, but now it's got it, you know, which is, you know, why they put a, you know, a, they just released a remaster of it on the PS4. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly the same game. It just runs smoother and has longer, you know, and has better draw distance.
Is there any talk of a new portable system for Sony at all?
I probably never got that one again.
I don't think they'll ever touch it again. Cause, I mean, basically they had one very minor success and one catastrophic failure.
It does sell a decent number in Japan, but that's the only place it is selling.
You know what the worst part about that is? It's mostly Sony's fault.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean if they wanted to, they really could have pushed the Vita and made it successful.
I wonder
PSP. I mean, come on.
They put so much work into keeping the Vita from being another PSP in terms of it getting hacked and just you know, piracy and everything just essentially killing the system. Mm-hmm. But I think they hindered it very severely with the proprietary memory cards.
Which and they the never lowered associated. The price on.
Yeah. I mean, the price, you know, they just absolutely refused to, you know, make them, you know, consumer friendly pricing.
Yeah.
It's still like, if you want a 64 gig, like the largest you can get is a 64 gig card. And it's like $110, I think, yeah, is the.
That's way too.
Apparently, the 64 gig cards have a high failure rate too; they die easily.
And it's not like memory isn't easily replicated, and you can't drop the price like super fast. Like memory's one thing.
It's only expensive because it's proprietary,
right? But even then, like the process becomes simpler and simpler. Like, you know,
yeah. Just but I think cheaper. by the fact that they did, you know, you have to have these cards. And by the way, they're really expensive.
Yeah.
It did not endear that system at all to consumers.
And one of the things I hate too, one of the games that I loved the absolute most came out on the PSP, and because it came out on the PSP, it wasn't that big of a, you know, it wasn't a success because the PSP was never given a chance.
You don't like, if you like looking at
sad
booby girls, what? Then I guess you can get Senran on Kagura.
Whoa.
Shinobi versus
who doesn't look versus. Like looking at boobies?
I like looking at boobies.
Yeah, I do
people
too.
That
What's
get
going
offended
on
at things, I guess.
Yeah, they're talking about the proprietary memory cards being bullshit. You know what?
Oh, yeah, it's all you can only get the 64 gig from Japan.
Here's a quick observation, guys. Do you think Microsoft's looking at all this and saying, you know what, this might be the time to make?
They're just going to try to push Surface as device.
Essentially, I mean, I don't think anybody is going to make any more dedicated portable gaming devices. Just because the mobile market is too reliable. I think that Nintendo's only in it because it's been historically successful, and portable gaming is what so many people associate the Nintendo brand with.
I know Microsoft was thinking about it, and there were a lot of plans, but I think they made the right decision by ultimately just staying out of it.
Yeah, they decided to avoid making a portable system and focus on where the real money was, the Kinect.
All right.
Hey, you know,
most successful corporate venture ever, might I add.
Yeah, the Kinect. Oh boy, man.
Like that was like seriously, that was like Microsoft's Virtual Boy.
I know, they were
but
they were so high
at the
on
same
that.
Time it was still better than the Sony's look, we got a glowing dildo.
Hey, here's a kind of like
play with our glowing dildo.
The thing is, the Kinect was it's amazing technology. Mm-hmm. It's just not amazing enough to actually work for what they want it to work for.
Well,
it's exactly like the you remember things like the U-Force or the Power Glove?
Yeah,
it's like it's a great idea. The technology that's in it is actually kind of neat, but it's not nearly precise enough.
Well, I was gonna say,
you
know, when all this technology comes out for the average consumer, they don't give a fuck. I mean, it's all about practicality. Like the Kinect just wasn't practical for a lot of games. You know, it just didn't do what it was cracked up to be. The like you said,
it didn't help that it was
even Nintendo gave up on its motion controls.
Yeah,
I mean, it didn't help that it was nothing. Like the Move and the Kinect were nothing but Sony and Microsoft trying to get a little bit of Nintendo's motion control pie.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because that was making tons of money, and, you know, and everyone wanted in on that. And then you know the bubble burst on that. And now it's just like, the Wii U games, there's, some of them still have motion controls, but that's not, you know, it's nothing like it was when they were like, every game has to have something motion control oriented.
Right.
You had to use the capabilities of the system.
One of the Uncharted games used that, and it was awful. Like, you would try to walk over a log or something, it was just bad.
Yeah, man. The six-axis tilt controls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible. Just terrible.
I mean, again, like, that's a technology that's like, well, that's neat, but it's just, it's never going to replace just using a couple of thumbsticks.
Yeah. What happened to that one? What was it? The Phantom system? Whatever happened to that?
Nothing happened to it. It was a Phantom.
It was a Phantom, dude.
It was. Yeah. People said from day one, like, this is horseshit. Yeah. This machine does not exist. And it's like, so far as I'm aware, there was never even a prototype.
It's funny because I was actually interested from the little bit I heard of that.
No, they never, I don't think they ever sent out any dev kits to anybody. They never showed concepts. Yeah, they never showed any finalized concepts. Like, no, nothing ever went to manufacture. And
Here's
think we need to title this episode "Frank's a Sucker."
I'm not a sucker. I was just intrigued, man. Here's a story that a solid concept from Gamatsu: Stranger of Sword City for the PS Vita, which we just talked about, delayed to April. NIS has delayed Stranger of Sword City for the PS Vita from its previously.
Why didn't we do this story earlier? God,
so we need a reprieve from all the disappointment from delays.
I know, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It will launch both physically and digitally, 29th of April in North America and Europe. Oh, I'm sorry, 26th of April in North America and April 29th in Europe. The Xbox One digital-only version to be published by Experience, which I've never heard of.
They're the company that made Demon Gaze in this game.
Oh, okay, cool. It's still
so planned self-publishing.
It's still planned for release on March 22nd, North America. So, that's good news, I guess. I don't know too much about this game, but the artwork looks good. So, SMT says the Phantom is a fitting name since it doesn't exist. Yes, we've covered that. All right, y'all, that's the end of the news. Short news week, indeed.
I'm convinced that the Phantom was just a massive troll.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah. All right, homie discounts. There's a big Square Enix sale apparently on the PSN. So go.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that's the pickings are kind of slim on the PS4, but the PS3 and Vita both have some really good stuff. You can get either version of the Final Fantasy X and X-2 remaster for $15.
SMT says
the PS4 version's, I think, $20, but it's not on the list.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, it's $20 if you get it on Amazon.
It's not discounted. It's $50. The PS4 version of it is still
$50. Go get it on Amazon instead.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. I ordered it last night.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to order a physical copy because it's cheap now, and I've been kind of want to play Final Fantasy X-2 again.
Yeah, I like X-2. I think it's okay. The next episode of RP Grinders will
guilty pleasure.
The next Eric, the next episode of RP Grinders will be delayed, SMT says. So, yeah, it's been a bunch of delays, hasn't it, in the news? That really sucks. All right, so big Square Enix sale. Go out and pay Squeenix some more money, guys.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Final Fantasy stuff, but there's also some others like Drakengard and Sleeping Dogs and stuff like
that. Drakengard, that's a game I haven't heard in a while. That's a pretty decent game. All right, Twitter questions, Breakman. Anything?
Yes, let's see here. Bring up Twitter and
immediately regret it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it's definitely true. Let's see, what's the date here? Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
We ready.
All right. Would you rather?
I knew it.
This comes from our friend Freak 5 Chaos.
Of course it does.
Would you rather shit out 10 gallons of hot sauce or one shuriken?
10 shuriken would be painful, so I'll go with the hot sauce.
I'll go with the hot sauce too.
Hot sauce,
man.
Won't be painful.
Yeah, that'll be painful.
No, it'll hurt, but
they're
won't cut you.
Be painful.
Yeah, I think the hot sauce will be exquisitely uncomfortable, but is less likely to do actual severe. Yeah, it's not going to do severe tissue damage.
Right. Jesus Christ, a shuriken? Jesus Christ, man! What the fuck, man?
Yeah, I think we're all going with the hot sauce.
Are you talking about kunai, or are you talking about actual throwing stars?
Probably.
He's a shuriken, so I'm guessing this is a throwing star, so this is pointed on every end.
Shuriken's just a type of throwing dagger.
Either or, I would not.
But it's a sharp on every end dagger.
Yeah, either or, I would not.
As the kunai has a handle.
Yeah. Hey, gross.
That the kunai passing through you would probably really hurt, though.
Oh, God.
A shuriken, like, just imagine if the shuriken goes out, like, like in a round way.
Yeah.
Dude, like guys, we're letting Freak 5 Chaos win, and we can't do that, so we need to
move on.
Okay,
you gotta stop talking about
SMT says.
Okay, this is from Eric.
Hold on, SMT says.
Last week's RP Grinders, everyone must have been drunk except for Eric. Will it happen again?
That's why it was so much fun.
Yes, I'm drunk, and yes, I'm having a lot of fun. And he said that we're on tonight. Let me see. SMT says, SMT underscore YHVH on Twitter says, I think everyone was fucking plastered, chat included. Nice.
I don't think I was plastered.
I was not plastered. I was high.
High.
Because you got high. Now, I was definitely not high or plastered. I was just having fun. It was a fun show last week. I thought it was really fun. SMT says depends on the hot sauce on that. Would you rather? Just to let you guys know.
I've never heard of Rapture hot sauce.
I never have either.
Man. Probably ghost peppers, I'm guessing.
Probably. All right, what else we got, Blake?
Carolina Reaper would be hotter.
All right,
I've heard the Billy Mitchell hot sauce is not so hot.
No, it's not. All right, break.
It's all right.
Billy Mitchell hot sauce is mild.
Yeah.
7%. No, that's it. That's it.
All right. So I'm actually excited to talk about what I've been playing this week, guys. I'm going to lead off this
Holy
week.
Shit, you played something new?
Yeah, I did, man. I actually got back.
At least it's something decent this time.
Oh, shut up, you son.
Oh, we can't hear that.
God, something that's not shitty Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Oh, fuck you guys. I played
shitty Dragon Quest.
Oh, fuck off. I'm walking off this show.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Walking off. Shitty Dragon Quest is redundant.
Oh, fuck off. Mug, son of a bitch. I did play Marvel Puzzle Quest, you fucktards, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about...
Yeah, but you mentioned it, so apparently you do want to talk about it.
Jesus Christ. I want to talk about Wolf Among Us, you goddamn
wolf
asshole.
Wolf.
Get out of here.
You also say...
Oh, God. You son of a bitch. I should just...
Say the roof is on fire.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here, you son of a bitch. Yeah, I actually want to talk about that game a little bit. I think it's an underrated game. Not a lot of people talked about that game when it came out. Same guys who did the Walking Dead game, which was fantastic. But this game takes a little different kind of turn. It's a fairy tale kind of deal with obviously werewolves and different fairy tales like Snow White and all the rest. But I love the cel-shaded art style.
I still haven't played season 2 through 5 yet, but I like the idea that you can go to different places at least, so you can get different aspects of the story, even if it ends up going the same route anyway. Yeah, because
I love The Wolf Among Us.
Because I kind of hated the fact that your choices didn't matter all that much in The Walking Dead. And even though they don't hear, at least you're going to different places and doing different things.
Chat is exiled. And by the way, welcome Gripper and Wyland. Y'all are exiled.
On the other hand, then we got Game of Thrones, which none of your choices really matter, even narratively. I mean, I kind of expected that, but I kind of wish there was some marginal change that would happen, and that wasn't even grand to me. And it made me wonder why this character was even written in the first place.
Mm. Well, I really like the game. I'm enjoying it, and I think there's a good possibility of them doing something better the next go-round. I like the Telltale game series, The Walking Dead. I have not played.
It should be noted that The Wolf Among Us is based on the comic series Fables,
which is
also really, really good.
Yeah, Fables is really good. I think I've had an artist from Fables on before.
The Wolf Among Us is basically a prequel to the events of the comics.
Yeah.
So it's actually a decent starting point. It worked fine for me anyway.
Yeah.
I don't understand then, because. Spoiler alert, Snow White's a big part of the comics, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's a big part of the video game.
Yeah, well, she dies in the first episode of the game.
Oh yeah, she dies in the first episode. But
and so you'll have to play to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and don't spoil anything, man.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Well, you kind of already did, though.
No.
Brake did.
No,
I don't know. I've never read the comic and.
Well, my point is that if someone had never gone into the – have never played the game in any way, shape, or form or didn't know what those comics were about, which is how I went into it, and then someone said, well, Snow White dies after the first episode. Like, well, now
shit. Well, the first episode's been free for a long time, so a lot of people have played it and not played the rest of it.
I
haven't played the rest of
my
it
My perspective.
It's
yeah.
It's not a huge spoiler.
But I get the feeling, well – that's probably not really the case.
Right. SMT says he fucked up a bunch of nuns with a group of werewolves. I have no idea what that means.
Is that something
sexual?
That's
because you're not pronouncing the L, Frank.
Oh, shut up, you son of a bitch. Eric, I could talk about how I just upgraded Black Panther and Marvel Puzzle Quest all day if you guys want. That'd be fun. All right, Eric. Sons of bitches. All right, Eric.
He didn't even let you finish.
I know. Sons of bitches, man. All right, Eric, what have you been playing, man?
I finished Mario & Luigi Paper Jam. The review will be up whenever. I think probably Monday.
All right.
And I played a little bit more Code Realize. And over last weekend, I got through at least 10 hours of Echoes of Aetheria.
Cool.
Still need to finish that. And I played a little bit of Rabbi Ribby, which is a game being published by Sekai Project. And it's kind of a Metroidvania. You play as like a bunny girl, and it's kind of cutesy, but it's also a bullet hell because the enemies will hit you with bullet hell attacks. You got to avoid them.
What's the name of that game?
Rabbi Ribby.
Rabbi Ribby.
Rabbi Ribby.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not fast. Rabbi.
Yeah, Rabbi isn't like rabbit, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably not Rabbi. It's like, let's just hope he's not a moil.
I'm just going by possible Japanese pronunciation.
We can't beat this level because it's not kosher.
Yeah, it's not kosher. There will be no eating of ham and other things in this game. All right, Bray.
Kosher is mostly about how you kill it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Bray.
This game isn't a Japanese game, so maybe that doesn't even apply here. Oh. It's made by a Chinese and a Taiwanese team.
Yeah, Eric, we were just making fun, dude. All right, break.
I don't know that much about Jewish culture. Sorry. Sorry if that was offensive in any way.
Well, we like money.
That would be interesting, though.
If that was offensive in any way, you talk to him, not me. I have nothing to do with that.
Hey, I am a Jew, so I can do that.
We like money.
It's like Mr. Krabs. And
Lastos was a Jew, too.
my jacket. It's too cold out and I need a jacket.
That was horrible, Mark. That was just terrible. All right, Brake, what have you been playing, man?
Oh, man. I'm the same old stuff.
Oh, no, my glasses are fogged up.
Oh, my God, Brake. What the fuck?
That was not me. Don't blame me. I had nothing to do with that. What were we talking about? What I've been playing? And the same old stuff. I've mostly played Battlefront Star Wars this week.
You know,
new. Just you know, I do. I'm kind of wondering like what DICE is doing. They have planned DLC. They have four packages at $50 for the season pass. I'm wondering how much they're planning on selling each one of these packages for. That's the highest price I've ever heard for a freaking what do you call that, season pass. $50 season pass for four packs.
That better be a fucking killer.
And they haven't announced anything either as far as what they're gonna do.
Arkham Knights was 40.
Star Wars Battlefront.
And what's weird is that the Arkham Knight one, apparently the individual pieces of it supposedly came up to less than 40.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. If I'm getting a PS4 bundle, which one should I get? Should I get that Star Wars one, or which is there?
You could get the Star Wars one and sell the game, because fuck the game.
Because I mean, apparently the Battlefront is not a great game. I mean, it's like it's a very shallow multiplayer shooter.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I play it as much as I do is because it's Star Wars. If it wasn't Star Wars, I'd die.
But they don't have a Dragon Quest Heroes bundle because Frank would be on that.
I mean, which ones are you looking at?
They had a Black Ops one, which I'm not a big FPS guy, but I was mildly intrigued by that. They had the Star Wars Battlefront one, and then they had like a Tomb Raider one, and then they have
I don't know if you've ever played the Uncharted games, but the one that has the Nathan Drake collection might be worthwhile.
I saw that too, but I think I've gotten everything out of that series that I really want to get.
You're not interested in 4?
I am, but it doesn't come with 4. It comes with
I'm just saying if you waited a little bit, like a few more months, then you could probably get one.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll just wait. I mean, it's going to be a little bit before I get one, but I figured
the game's coming out like what, May?
I make an average of 20 to 25 in tip, so I was figuring like 3 weeks and I could fucking have a PS4, you know, and just save the money, pretend like I don't even got it, and then
when time. I mean, that's a worthwhile approach.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Or you could even just skip the bundle and just get a game you more specifically want.
Well, I was just thinking like the bundles are about the same, right? Like, what are PS4s normally like? 300 or 350? I thought they were 350. Might as well.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
I thought they were 300.
If they're 300, I'll just get the console. But if they're 350, I'm going to get one of those fucking bundles. I just don't know which one. Maybe the Tomb Raider one. I like adventure games. All right.
Well, wait. The Tomb Raider one, did that just come with the reboot from a couple years ago?
No, it's just the Rise of the Tomb Raider. Yeah. Wait, no. If this is PS4, then that would be – never mind.
Yeah,
that would be the definitive edition.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't do that one just because you'll be – you can get that game for like really cheap now.
Yeah, you can get like $7.50 on the Square Enix sale right now, I think.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's food for thought. When I get closer, I'll ask you guys advice again.
Although that sale kind of ends on Tuesday, so.
Mm. All right, Mug, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little bit of Just Cause 3 here and there. I'm mostly trying to, like, just kind of, you know, doing completion-based stuff. Because I finished the campaign, and I found like all the the collectibles and done all the stunt jumps and all that stuff. So, like, now I'm trying to do the thing where you have to there's a chop shop that you can bring cars to, or bring vehicles to, and then you can call them up later. But the last vehicle in the game that you can do that with is this racing boat, and it only spawns on an inland island, or rather in an inland lake. So you have to like attach your tethers to like a helicopter or something to get it over the mountain. And you have to have your tethers upgraded really, really high in order to do it. You know, you basically have to have their strength maxed out and the number of them maxed out. Otherwise, they'll just snap if you try to airlift it out. So, or you can try dragging it along along the ground. And there's one where you can kind of ride a boat down a mountain, which is pretty funny, until it blows up. It's actually really hard to get out of there. But so I'm trying to figure out how to get this one vehicle out of this lake. That's like the quest of the day. But aside from that, I've also been playing a little bit of East Memories of Soseta on the Vita. So I never did go back and finish the English version.
You said that it was whitelisted on the Vita TV, but I tried playing it and it wouldn't play.
What's weird is I've had to do it, like sometimes I've had to do it every time I booted it up, but you have to go to the game's page and hit the little the refresh, circular arrows, and then start.
The arrows?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why that's the case, but it works.
All right, so what else?
I also tried doing the whitelist exploit, but apparently my firmware was too high, so I can't do that.
Yeah.
All right, Mug, what else, bud?
That's it, as far as games go.
All right, let's get into our stinkos this week, guys. Eric, do you have a stinko?
Yes. This is about my government. Boy, I hate Ohio government. This is from Glamour.com.
The government's a stinko every day.
Yeah. The Ohio Senate just passed an extreme anti-abortion bill. This is 2 days ago.
I didn't hear this.
The Ohio Senate passed a bill today that, if ratified in the State House and signed into law by the governor and presidential candidate John Kasich, geez, I hope he doesn't get the nomination, because then that probably means that he won't be governor again. But because usually any governor that runs for presidential office and loses doesn't come back for any kind of office.
Is he a good governor or no?
No.
Okay.
It's absolutely worse. He's worse than Strickland. Strickland was pretty bad. Mm. Yeah. Anyways, it says radically impact the legality, safety, and accessibility of abortion in the state. They're expected to vote the 9th next month. House Bill 294 would block funding from Ohio Department of Health or federal government to any entity that performs or promotes non-therapeutic abortions. Reproductive rights expert argue the bill's broad wording means the law could cut off healthcare facilities and hospital centers from funding from any service they provide. Okay. Among other things, support for work with clients who are victims of domestic violence or who are those who are HIV positive would be taken away. Funds previously available under the Violence Against Women Act.
Mm. That's sad.
And it says the legislation is widely acknowledged to be an attack on Planned Parenthood. Because they know they can't oppose Roe versus Wade, but they can make it so untenable that you won't want to go through with it.
Hmm. That sucks. You know, what can you say? I mean, more assault on women's rights. I mean, it's sad, Eric. I mean, I don't even know what I mean, we hear these stupid stories every
day.
If you're
pro abortion ban, then you're a misogynist.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's sad. It's just sad, man. I mean, I don't even know what else to say.
I don't know about that.
An embryo is also not a life. It's not a human baby. And these people think having a kid and getting pregnant equals baby. And it's not a baby until it's a baby.
Right. Right. I don't know, man. It's just sad. Ohio seems so backwards to me. I don't understand. Just when I think they're going to break through with something, they do stupid shit like this, man. So
you could hate them for other things too, like cutting the budgets out in schools.
Yeah, well, that happens here too, sadly. I don't understand. Like, it's a reason.
Oh, the whole way we fund schools is fucked up in the first place.
Ain't that the truth, Break Man?
It's just schools are run like a business and.
Oh, they are.
Not like an actual place of learning.
Oh, dude, they have to be. You should see all the fundraisers that I got to support to keep my kids.
No shit. Yeah. I remember all the times as kids, like, we need you to go door to door to raise money for this. Like, right.
It's ridiculous.
It's run like a business, because if something's not working, they just cut funding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of actually solving the fucking problem.
And imagine that people are like, oh, Trump would be great because he'll run the government like a business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's no, exactly. He wants to be the president so he can improve his business.
Well, I'm tired of people thinking that the solution to every problem is throw more money at it. Yeah. Obviously, and in a lot of situations,
money helps, but money does very little if you don't have the talent to, you know, see it through.
Money only helps if it's directed in the right ways.
So many problems we've just thrown money at is government, state, and federal. Like, just let's throw more money at it. Mm. Well, obviously, you're doing something wrong, because throwing more money at it hasn't worked.
But cutting budgets doesn't help either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a lot of times when you cut budgets and stuff like that, like the head administrators, like the top people, like they're still getting
raises. How about just cutting the defense budget and adding it to the education budget? That would be, I don't know, novel, I guess.
And a lot of the money that goes towards the defense budget doesn't actually go to, you know, the places it should be going anyway.
Yeah,
man, that's it. That's blasphemy if you say that to anybody. Cutting the defense budget, nobody wants to hear that. All right, break.
It's like, oh, so like 10% of my taxes is going to the military, and but instead of actually going to, you know, actual equipment, you're gonna fund some loser general or colonel's office for a mini fridge instead. Oh no, okay.
Yeah. All right. No.
Yeah, there goes my money.
All right, break, man. What is your stinko?
Oh, mine goes to the end of the football season.
Oh, man.
there's only one game left.
One game left, which I will talk about later.
I know. Like, I'm excited for that one game, but, like, as soon as that's done, it's like, oh, wait, there's no more football. Fuck, I got to wait until August?
I'm supposedly on Capcom's list for Street Fighter V. I'm looking at chat. But they probably won't give me code because they'll come up with some excuse, I guess.
I hope they give you code. That would be cool. Give it to Wyland, man. Wyland.
Hey, you need to verbally harass them. Like, hey.
Why would I give it to Wyland? I'm going to review it.
Yeah, but Wyland's the man when it comes to fighting games, man.
I still haven't played him in that game. I'm never on when he's on.
And Wyland probably has money to pay for that.
Still haven't gotten your ass kicked, right?
Yeah, I know. Like, I played it a couple days ago and just. Like, I was getting my ass kicked by the computer. I'm like, fuck, when I play Wyland, it's just going to be a massacre. if I'm lucky, I'm going to get a hit in. If I get a hit, if I hit him once, that's going to be my victory. Just being able to touch, like, Wyland.
there were plenty of arcade sticks that were made for PS3 that will work just fine on PS4.
Really?
That's my understanding, that anyway. My understanding is that they are, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the the connection between them. I mean, they're still Bluetooth,
mm-hmm.
and I mean the connection between them can't be that different because the PSTV can use either PS3 or rather DualShock 3 or 4.
I wonder how well it deals with lag then.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Mug your stinko, bud.
I've got a few things this week.
I just like to say Wyland's calling me out in chat. Just, yes. I'm going to point that out.
Are you talking about KI for fiascos?
Anyway, I told you guys last week about the nerve block, and as it turns out, it didn't really do much.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, so it's like it takes a little bit of the edge off, but that's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating. I also got a letter today where I've been summoned for jury duty.
Fuck.
Let me state this first of all. I am not fundamentally opposed to jury duty. I consider it. You know, it's a very small price to pay for everything that the government does for us.
I agree for the most part, but I'll talk about that in a second.
But that said, I don't think I don't think most of them would consider me a good candidate mm-hmm. for jury duty, mm-hmm. Because
you're just gonna say not guilty.
No, because frankly, it's because I'm too smart for it. So, I mean, let me put it to you this way. It's like, they ask you that they have this questionnaire that they have you go through. It's like 14 pages of stuff.
This is federal court, not common courts.
This is federal. Yeah. I put a thing in there's a little question, little freeform questionnaire. Anything else that you think you would, they ask you like history of, do you think you can be, impartial when it comes to firearms, drugs, these various things or police involvement, that kind of thing. I was like, okay, I'm as honest as I can be. And, but the little freeform thing at the end said, any other things you'd like us to know about you? And I said, here's what I wrote. I said, I consider the United States justice system to be fatally flawed, but probably as good as it can be. Mm-hmm. Due to the nature of perception, all eyewitness testimony is inherently unreliable. The nature of the United States justice system is such that it relies largely on circumstantial evidence and character witnesses to establish guilt rather than calculated probability based on strictly factual data, i.e. DNA evidence.
Testimony.
So factual so far.
Okay, hang on. Police testimony is apt to be especially biased due to political pressures, the desire to toe the thin blue line, etc. Individuals forget details they don't want to remember, will invent details to support their preconceived notions, can be coached into remembering things that never happened, can conflate multiple events into one, will fail to notice things they weren't looking for, etc. It isn't necessarily something they do out of malice or a desire to deceive. It is simply human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'll be accepted?
No, I think
I went to.
Those are all true statements. I don't know why you wouldn't accept it.
But only for common court cases.
I think that was the most factual, list of that was true.
Would you do the same thing for a common courts?
I would,
but I mean, the thing I would, if they're asking like this is, I do think this is true. This is not something I'm saying to get out of doing, you know,
like everything you've said, like I was nodding my head the entire time you were speaking.
Yeah. I mean, it's a factual statement, but a friend of mine, you know, when I posted something about it on Facebook, a friend of mine said, also, I know what jury nullification is. That would have clinched it. And so I was like, I've never heard of jury nullification. Mm. And that is when a jury will, you know, even if they don't, they will give a false verdict because they are morally opposed to the law that's being that, you know, that they're being convicted for.
You know, Wivix and I actually talked about this shit, man. Like, I've been a big proponent of professional jurors. You know, I know it's our, I guess, stately duty or federal duty to go to jury duty, but I don't think most of us are capable of deciding cases, especially in the cases of like murder and all these like
the last one was that I was on, it was about a drug conviction or trafficking and sale.
As smart as everybody is on this show, I don't think any one of us is qualified to know the details of DNA and you know, the flaws and all, everything that goes along with being a juror. I just don't think we have.
Well, the problem is that the justice system is built around the whole notion of a jury of your peers.
Right, right.
And no, these other people, you know, like if you have professional jurors, you've immediately thrown that out.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I understand what you're saying, Mug, but when you get a jury of your peers, quote-unquote peers, like the lawyers aren't thinking about that. The lawyers are thinking, who can get my client off or who can convict that? They're not thinking jury of peers. If it was a jury of my peers, I'd have a bunch of pothead people in the jury. You know, that's my peers. You guys are my peers. I don't consider.
Dude, you insult me. I'm way better than you.
Check this
I'm
out.
I'm not a pothead.
I don't consider like wealthy lawyers to be my peers. You know, I don't consider.
Lawyers aren't the jury either.
No, but they can be. You see what I'm saying?
Well, like, the thing is, you're also like you're kind of hyper focusing. It means peers in the sense of other citizens.
I fully get
in terms of your place within, you know, within the governmental structure. You know, you are on the same level as any other, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, so to speak.
No, I understand that, but it's not that way, Mug. You and I both know, Mug. Like, when you go sit down on a jury, if it's a black person, let's put race in it for.
Hey,
just
I wonder
a minute.
If you put your name. Every answer on the form is Alex Jones. I wonder if that would get you in there.
Yeah. I think race plays a big part of things in this country too, man. If I'm a black person, I don't want an all-white jury. And it very rarely happens that you get an all-black jury for a person of color or Hispanic or whatever, like Asian. You know, you never get that. So this whole notion
the thing is none of that's going to be resolved by having professional jurors.
I think a lot of it would be. I think
how?
if you were I don't think it can be 100% taken care of, but I think if you were taught and educated in the proper manner. Look, when they came up with the system of your peers being your, you know, the people to decide your fate, they weren't thinking along these lines back in the day. It's time to take a good look at that and rework it. Like, I just don't like the way it is now. Like, I've been on a couple of juries now. And each time, like, I was the dissenting voice. Like, one of them – this is what one of my cases boiled down to. The people
– Hold on. Know if you should be talking about that.
No, it's public knowledge, man. You can look it up, dude. It's no big deal. I was on a jury with the former mayor of Denver's wife, if you can believe that. And every one of the jury wanted to not award – this man money based on the fact that he was a lawyer. And I was the dissenting voice saying, this isn't justice, this is bias. And you guys think because this guy has money, he doesn't deserve to get money because why? Because of his social status. This is the point I'm trying to make. Like this,
you would have been against me because I hate lawyers. Would have voted against him just because he's a lawyer.
See? And that's a bias that shouldn't be.
I know.
You think you're making a case against the current system? You're making a case for it.
Yeah.
Because you showed that it works.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should work better than that because they
ended. You and I agree completely. It should work better than it does, yeah. But I don't think what you're proposing is the way to do it.
No, I think it is the way to do it, man. I mean, I don't want to be involved in it because of that reason, man. I've seen it twice in action, and the second example that I just gave you is the prime example of what.
So basically, because most people are stupid.
Most people are biased. They're biased. They're trained to be biased because
they aren't. He's not talking about me. He's talking about other people.
There was zero critical thinking in there. The facts were the facts. The woman hit the guy, caused damage to his vehicle. He should have been compensated. Instead, we come up with a, quote, compromise where he got 50% of the money. And I'm like, this is bullshit, man. It's absolute horseshit. And he was lucky to get that. If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't have got that
50%. It almost seems like it's not even really justified. It's like – a formality. So they decide to have the most inept people do the jury.
God, man, it's so inept.
And then most inept.
Well, the thing is, the problem there is that money is not going to get rid of people's biases.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, like they got to do a better job. Like there has to be some better way of picking the people. Like it just for me, the two times that I've been involved in jury, they picked the complete wrong people.
Here's a question for you: what method of picking a jury, other than at random, can you think of that won't be manipulated
Random? Mug, is it really random when you're talking about the prosecution that wants a jury favorable to them and the defense who wants a jury favorable? Is it really random? I mean, they're just looking for people to pick their side. Like it should just be people that are trained in this particular field, and that's it. You know,
the problem is you're what you're describing is talking about you're creating like a lawyer class.
No, okay,
Think about it. No, the thing is, the whole thing is that the jury is the only place where the average citizen has anything to do with the justice system.
Yeah, well, most of the times, average citizens don't get picked for those juries, dude. Come on, man.
There are hundreds of thousands of cases, a year, if not more. That you can't honestly think that every single one is stacked.
Yeah, I don't think everyone is stacked, but I think the odds are definitely not stacked in anybody's favor. Like, I don't think it works right, man. Like, professional jurors, to me, I've said it for years, would be the way to go for better or worse, man.
I think you'd be playing with fire, tap dancing on a landmine, basically.
No, I don't think I would. I think
Frank's crazy.
Look, I'm thinking outside the box here. Nobody else.
You're also thinking way out in left field.
No, I don't think so, man. I mean, how do you know unless you try it? I just think
that people need better at be educated,
and nobody is for any of these problems. Nobody's educated in these cases at all. And it's ridiculous. Well, it sucks.
That's the thing. Horrible. We improve education. We'll improve the juror pool.
Oh, well, that'll never happen. That'll never happen, dude.
I think it'll happen, just not
probably in my lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is a more realistic approach that is less likely to result in potentially very bad things than introducing a professional vote. Justice deciding class.
Yeah. Well, I think we're gonna agree to disagree on this, Mug. What else you got, Mug?
Well, I found out from the guy, if you guys remember, I told you about the Samurai Shodown RPG, working on that, and the drive that it was on died. And so Gideon Z, who I've worked with before with some translations, pointed me to this guy who does data recovery. Mm-hmm. So I sent the drive off to him, and he can't do anything with it. He said, I said, I'm 99% certain that a data recovery company would be able to do it. It's like, this place might do it for X. But that's still, like, getting that done, I'm looking at probably around $400 or $500.
Oh, yeah, that's not cool. That sucks.
So I was like, I don't know. And now I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should like try to make that happen or if I should just close the book on the project entirely.
Dude, that's
I think it's time you start a Kickstarter.
Yeah, or an Indiegogo or something. Why not?
GoFundMe.
Look,
but I was like, I don't know.
Dude, a GoFundMe, we'll support it on the show, dude. I promise.
And RP Grinders Kickstarter.
Because I want to see a translation of this game happen.
Yeah. No, I think you should do it, Mug. And if you do it, we'll promote it on the show, dude. I mean, I don't think it's worth giving up on. You know,
well, I mean, I'm doing the thing to I'm waiting until I get the drive back because I need some of the information that's on it. I mean, yeah. That's on the actual label. But I'm getting in touch with the data recovery company to get an estimate of how much it would cost.
Look, there may be somebody listening to this show on the archives that might be able to help you out, dude. Like that has the tools to do it. So that
the problem there, and here's my my qualm with it. If I solicit money to do this, it suddenly becomes something that it's not something that's a hobby anymore. It's something I have to do.
No, I understand that. But look, we've talked about delays today, right, Mug? You don't have to give a solid answer as to when shit's going to get done. You know what I mean? It could be 10 years from now, dude.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if people give me money so that this will happen, it is with the understanding that at some point within a reasonable time frame,
that they want sex from you? Yeah, I know.
I mean, if they're giving me money specifically so that the translation will happen, I need to make sure the translation happens.
Well, what is it going to take for the translation to happen? Time? Like what time frame are you looking at?
It's going to take time and a lot of a lot of focused effort.
Okay. Well,
there's still a lot of work to be done on it.
Well, let's think about that, Mug. And like I said, we'll be behind you 100% if you need some support, dude. You know, for sure.
Appreciate it.
All right. Mine. We beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship. I mean the Denver
Broncos. No one cares.
I care.
Yeah, look, had nothing to do with it.
Look, right. But dude, come on, it's my Broncos, just like it's your Bengals.
You had literally nothing to do with it.
Look, I don't care what you say, Mug. I'm not gonna interrupt you on yours. Please don't interrupt me on mine. They're my Denver Broncos in my own mind, okay? I don't own the team. But I've lived in this city forever. I feel I can take a little bit of ownership in how I've supported the team over the years, okay? I've bought enough products. I feel I can speak on this, right? I cannot tell you the level of conspiracy theory that the Patriot fans had after we meaning the Denver Broncos, beat them. And did you hear this one, Breakman, where – we put water on the sideline so Gronkowski would slip and fall and
what?
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that one.
I had a Patriot fan. Like, I wasn't interacting with anybody because I'm hardly ever on Twitter, but I was looking at the reaction, and one of the theories was that the Denver Broncos specifically put water on the Patriot sideline so that they could.
What if it wasn't water? What if it was like Mountain Dew?
Or whatever. Some type of liquid.
Oh, my God. Oh, liquid. Conspiracy.
They put liquid.
They peed on the field.
Right. So that Gronkowski. Did you see that play where Gronkowski like slipped and fell on the sideline?
I don't know. Yeah. If you saw that. And before it, the coaches were peeing on the field. Yeah, I saw that.
So that's my stink of the week. Conspiracy theorist in general. But this time it goes to Patriot fans. Suck it, Patriot fan. You lost. Get over it. All right. Sweetos of the week. Moria.
All right, like, Patriot fans, come on. Like, you guys have had it better than anybody else.
Oh, they're
like,
the biggest fucking crybabies, dude. They are the biggest fucking crybaby whiners out there, man.
In my experience, sports fans in general are humongous crybaby whiners.
I would agree with that.
I will not admit that.
Totally agree. I agree with you, Mug, that we are in full agreement. But this week, it happens to be Patriot fan. So, like I said, suck it, Patriot fan. You lost. Get over it. Wait till next year, like 28 other teams. All right, Moria, you're sweet-o.
All right. Well, turns out we're getting a nice size tax refund. So we're working on getting Yeah, you need to work on that. But we've got some plans to get some stuff fixed up around the house, which will make things, much easier for us in the summer.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm pretty pleased with that. And also, my wife and I went to go see Laser.
I want to say that I don't think the young generation understands how big that is. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah, it is. It is a really big thing. Yeah. It's like, if you've never had to deal with paying taxes, trust me, the tax return is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Your tax refund, rather. My wife and I went to go see Laser Team locally in the theater on Wednesday, and it actually turned out to be pretty good.
What's Laser Team?
Laser Team is the movie that the Rooster Teeth guys put out.
Oh, yeah.
was just it was just released on Wednesday.
I don't think I could see it anywhere around here.
You'd have to look. There's this distribution model called TUGG, T-U-G-G, where basically you go to TUGG and say, like, I want to set up a screening in this city. And they'll say and basically they'll do like the legwork of setting it up, of establishing the partnership with the theater, mm-hmm. and with a theater. And then they'll start pre-selling tickets. And if they pre-sell enough, if it fills up enough, then it's a go, basically. It's kind of like getting – it's like crowdfunding a showing of a movie.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else, man? That's it?
That was it for me.
All right, Brake. You, my friend.
My sweeter goes to my Bearcats finally winning an important road game after losing not one, not two, not three, not four, but five games by 1 point in the last 30 seconds of the game.
That's a scrappy team, man. I've been following Cincinnati.
When you lose games by 1 point, it's like, goddamn, both teams played hard. Mm-hmm. This is a hard loss. It's rough. When it happens like multiple times like that, it's like, fuck. God damn it. I hate my life.
I think they're going to be a dangerous team if they get into that tournament break. I really do. I think they're going to be dangerous. But
that'd be good. Yeah. I would like that. But so they won. They finally won a close game, and they've played a lot of close games and lost them, which it's demoralizing. It really is when you lose a game by 1 point. And repeatedly do it.
Yeah.
So to finally win a close game on the road was good.
Yeah. All right. That it, Brake?
Yep. That's it.
Who did they beat, by the way?
They beat Stealth's team, UConn.
Ah, good. I hate UConn.
That's what Stealth gets for not being here.
They're just like the really good. It's like the Patriots. You just hate them because they're so fucking good.
Well, UConn's thing is that they've been able to get some really amazing players, like Kemba Walker, who UC tried to recruit, but unfortunately went to UConn, and he was really good. And then they had Shabazz Napier, and
they really have had great players for sure.
Oh yeah, what was that guy's name?
It's like Alabama in college football, man. They just get recruits after recruits after recruits. Yeah. That
they had another great player, and I can't think of his fucking name right now. And I'm just talking about in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But UConn's had some really good players. To beat them in a close game like that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to me next. Obviously, the Broncos are in the Super Bowl, so I'm super pumped for that. Not only that,
yes. Congratulations on that. Because they're playing in the only football game left that matters.
Yes, yes.
Anybody who watches the Pro Bowl, shame on you.
Oh, God, Pro Bowl. Let's not even talk about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I've got an Xbox. I've got other things to do, which are a lot better than watching Pro Bowl.
I put down $100 on the Broncos before the season started when I was in Vegas last time to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. One place I got 10-1 odds, and the other place I got 12-1 odds. Dude.
Let me say something. Like, as far as the odds leading up into the game this morning, they're heavily in the Panthers' favor. So has it shifted for you? Because that would be a huge gain for you.
No, can't wait till football's over. That's all I can say.
When they – I don't really care what you think, Eric. Post the odds, you just get the ticket at those odds, and that's it.
That kind of sucks because since then, I know this week, like, the odds have heavily been in favor of the Panthers, so that kind of sucks. It feels like you're being screwed.
No, dude. Like, if you think about it, the odds have actually increased. Instead of being 10-1 or 12-1 odds, it's actually 2-1 odds, if you think about it. Because there's only two teams left, so I got good odds. I'll win $1,000 if they win.
Okay.
I
just put it that way. Good luck.
Also, Anna Kasparian was on CNN. I think it was last week. I saw a video on Young Turks where she kind of alluded to Donald Trump and his immigration policy and how you know, he's so anti-immigration, but the immigration rate is actually at zero or less than zero, meaning there's more people leaving the country than are entering the country. So it just was a nice, refreshing thing to see, you know, something a little different on the Young Turks and her taking on a conservative and just basically whipping ass. Eric, do you have...
Who is Anna Kasparian?
She's on the Young Turks. She's a host with Cenk Uygur on the Young Turks. She's
Cenk.
Cenk, no,
it's Cenk.
Cenk, yeah.
Cenk, whatever. Yeah. The like weird... Yeah, whatever, Cenk. And she's awesome. I like Anna Kasparian. I like Cenk, too, or Cenk, or whatever. Eric, do you have a sweeto?
I don't think I do. I have a lulz, though.
Yeah, let's do that, man.
I found this on
Wait, before we do lulz, did Break do a sweeto?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't sure.
I was celebrating basketball. Sorry. It was sports, so you might have taken a nap.
Might have. Well, yeah, your thing also says Netflix, so I didn't remember you saying anything about it.
That might have been last week.
Oh, yeah, that was nuts. Like, so I just don't update anything. You know that. I'm lazy and lazy.
Lazy and lazy.
anyways, I'm too lazy for a second adjective.
I found this on Facebook post from, like, I think, like, one of my skeptical, I guess, pages that put up on my wall. But this is from EzzardErnst.com, and it says, Catholic homeopaths claim to cure homosexuality. As the German Association of Catholic Doctors, Bund Katholischer Arzt, claims that the homeopathic remedies can cure homosexuality. Yes, I kid you not. This is what they state on their website. Specifically, they advise that the working group homeopathy of the association notes homeopathic therapy options for homosexual tendencies. Repertoires that contain special rubrics pointing to characteristic signs of homosexual behavior, including sexual peculiarities such as anal intercourse. Oh, and then it lists
did
that.
They have a cure for heterosexuality there?
Yeah, that's a good point. Did they? Yeah. Did they?
It
find
stands
it
to reason that if they can, you know, then again, maybe not. If they consider almost, you know, heterosexuality is, you know, is the norm that to which, you know, and everything else is deviant.
Hmm. Anyways,
so it can only go in one direction.
I like the first.
Well, can they at least cure furries? Furries.
Anyways, I like the first comments that's listed here. Yeah, someone posted, presumably to come up with a homeopathic remedy against homosexuality, they'd have to start with the substance that causes homosexuality, then dilute it into oblivion. Exactly what would the substance be? That should be
interesting. And then
it's white and sticky.
Yeah, and then somebody else says fertilized
ovum. I'm pretty certain it's silk.
Silk. I love it, man. Even worse, when they prove their nonsense, when the symptoms will have to be seen in healthy individuals. I wonder how their religious leaders will feel about creating something they are indoctrinated into believing is an abomination.
What are you reading?
Some of the comments here. That's funny, man. That's just ridiculous, man. They said it could be the cause of liver disease. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's just stupidity is all it is, Eric. That's all.
Anyways,
what do you expect? It's the Catholics.
Anyways, yeah. This Ezard Ernst guy, he's got an MD, a PhD, I forget what F medical science is.
It's probably fuck you for.
I was gonna say it's fuck medical science. Yeah. God damn it!
Fuck, no, fuck
that whole science thing. Fuck that.
Goofy stories. He's an actual doctor.
Yeah, and he's got an FSB, which means fuck shitty bullshit. He's got an FRCP, which means fuck really cunt people. Yeah.
Why can't we be
fuck
serious?
Fuck science. I've got dice that tell me everything.
No, this guy isn't the homeopath, guys.
I've got a magic
He's reporting this stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, that's good that he's bringing this to light then. My apologies.
I just don't know what these abbreviations are.
I don't know either, but damn. What,
whatever. If he was a better reporter, he'd use my magic 8-ball.
Leave it to
this. Just a simple blog, yes. That's all.
Catholic doctors. That's what you get, man. Catholic doctors.
I don't know if religion and medical science exists in the same capacity that actual scientists do.
Oh, God, dude. I don't know, man.
That sounds like Street Fighter.
That's like saying that you're religious.
Go home and be a family man.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just like SMT and chat's laughing. Wow. Yeah, I don't understand, man. Like, it's just what it is. Is there a cure for bisexual?
I thought that most Catholics actually support gays. So, I don't know. These are Germans, so and European Catholics are definitely more crazier.
I guess. I think the Catholics here are pretty crazy.
Wait, did you say we're talking about Germans?
Yes, German.
That's all you need to know.
Germany. Germany's so backwards.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if I really did a review on The Revenant. I think I said I was going to do a review on The Revenant. It's a good movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. There's the bear scene in particular is very, very well
it's
done.
It's extremely violent.
Yeah, it's extremely violent and well done. I thought
Aaron
it was
saying bears.
Bears, yes. Bear, like a bear. Was that a bear? Yeah, it was jarring, man. It was scary. Like,
I think I'll red box that because it probably is not going to be in the theater anymore by the time I can afford to see a movie along with the Hateful Eight.
It might be the Hateful Eight, maybe not.
I'd rather just wait to see the Deadpool movie at this point.
I was gonna say I'm waiting for Deadpool. That's what I care about.
Yeah, just save your money for Deadpool, man.
Isn't that rated R?
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone did a petition for an X-rated one. Oh, why would they do that?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, X-rated is Deadpool so goofy that there'd be nudity in it or something?
He's pretty vile, man, in the comics.
Yeah, he's vile and stuff, but I can't
think of whole thing about how – remember the thing about that? There was supposedly a petition about, like, we want a PG version of
PG-13.
PG-13 version. That never happened. I'm calling it now. It never happened. It's just a publicity stunt.
Yeah. Mm. No, but The Revenant was really good. I suggest watching it in theaters. It's worth watching in theaters, I think. It's I'm not going to spoil anything. It's badass. It's a good movie. I think Leonardo DiCaprio will get his Oscar this year, which will be.
I'm almost
all the white people got Oscars.
It's like I'm almost positive that Leo will get screwed out of an Oscar for it,
and he shouldn't. He should win it. I've seen a few of the movies on the list, and there's in my mind, there's no question he should get it. It's past due. He's a great actor. I think all the Leonardo DiCaprio jokes aside, he's really, really good, especially in this movie. So
he's always been an excellent actor.
Yeah,
I was actually talking with my stepdaughter about that a few days ago.
Yeah.
When he first kind of came onto the scene and kind of got established as like he was a child star originally, but then he became like the teen heartthrob kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. And people were like, oh, fuck Leo, he's a fag, whatever. You know, all the stupid shit that guys say because they don't like some pretty boy coming up. It's like this. They did the same thing with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I've always liked Brad Pitt. I'm just saying.
No, but then it turns out. You know, and I did pretty much the same thing with Brad Pitt. I didn't take him seriously until Fight Club.
Yeah.
I was like, he's actually really good.
Ever since I saw Legends of the Fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that movie, I'm a Brad Pitt fan.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it happened with Leo, when he went from like, oh, God, another pretty boy, basically the pretty boy is like guy who looks better than me movie.
Yeah.
You know? Like. But I don't know when it was because it was kind of like, from, oh, God, not Leo again. Hey, Leo. I don't know when that transition happened.
I think he's got the right director this time. I think Inarritu is going to win the best director. We should have an Oscar show, man. I think that'd be really, really fun.
God, I usually don't watch this, so I don't
I hate award shows much.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, dude, it's just something to talk about.
Let me know when you're going to do an Oscar show. I'm going to call it sick.
Really? We should talk about how all the black people are getting snubbed.
We could talk about that, too, which is an interesting thing to talk about.
I hate award shows. Like, fucking, look, the rich and famous. Let's pat our back some more.
Really?
I'd rather give my own awards.
Yeah, well, whatever. You guys are.
I'd rather award myself.
We're just
oh, God, yes.
I rewarded myself twice today already.
Oh, nice. You guys are sick. You guys do your own show, man. I'm walking off. All right, let's do a, you know what, Eric? I don't think we've ever talked about this study on religious kids being jerks. What's the skinny on this in the free for all? I think we maybe started that, and then we didn't.
No, we never even touched it.
I think we did. I think we
alluded to doing it next week, and we didn't do it the week afterwards.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's do it. Study. Religious kids are jerks. This comes to us from thedailybeast.com. A study published in the journal Current Biology, testing the behavior of Christian, Muslim, and atheist children has found that religious kids are meaner and less generous. For many, organized religions like Christianity provide a moral compass. Holy books serve as guides that hold strict rules about what is right and wrong. It is only common sense to think that those who have religion in their lives are the ones with a strong sense of morals, while those who lack religious belief are left wandering in the dark with no light to show them the right path from the wrong one. But as we've seen time and time again, common sense can be dead wrong. According to a new study, children that come from non-religious households behave significantly more altruistically than those from religious households, as measured by greater acts of generosity towards others. So then it goes on and on. I'm trying to look at the actual study, the gist of the study here.
That's what I'm curious. I was like, okay, how many people did they study? Like, okay, how worthwhile is this? Is this study's results?
Here we go. Over 1,100 children, age 5
well,
to 12.
Well, I want to talk more.
Come on, that's.
I want to talk more about the phenomenon called moral licensing.
Okay, well, let me.
I'm not a big fan of studies because it's like we sampled 1,000 people or 100,000 people.
I think there are millions
of people in America.
Right, the thing is. That's how statistics works.
Yes,
I just wanted
to use this article to springboard into this moral licensing thing.
Okay, well, let's talk about it then, Eric. I was going to tell you guys about the study, but let's get into it. Go ahead, moral licensing.
Yeah, how dare you tell us something, Frank?
Right. How dare I get into the gist of this study?
It says the authors of the study have an explanation that involves an interesting phenomenon called moral licensing. It says the term refers to a mental glitch whereby doing something that enhances one's positive self-image makes them less worried about the consequences of immoral behavior. For instance, research has shown that men who report being very opposed to sexism later on go to hire men for what would be traditionally considered a man's job. They do this because they feel that since they are not sexist, at least in their own minds, decision to choose male over female can't be immoral.
Oh, God.
Similarly, someone that sees him or herself as a moral person for devoutly practicing a religion might be less concerned about their actual behavior. In light of this, it's not so surprising that children who identify as religious do not feel as compelled to share stickers since they believe themselves to be a good person independent of their behavior.
So disbelief-
I guess that's what the study was for. They use stickers as like a control mechanism.
Just believing that you're a good person does not mean you're a good person. I mean, that's how
– You have to be careful of studies because study – like study
– Break. Hold on a second. The thing is you can't say something like you have to be careful of studies because studies are how – basically, all of science has built upon itself.
Right.
Well, hang on.
Let me make this point. Yeah, hang on a second. The thing is, no one study proves anything.
Right. It has to be repeatable.
That's what peer review is all about. You have to do multiple studies that support this same conclusion. Yeah, this is basically like, here's what we found, and that's one of the problems I have with science reporting in the news.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say like, you know, according to this study, so-and-so is unhealthy or whatever. These people are assholes, whatever. Unless you do repeated, multiple people, trying to replicate those results. And that's when you know that a study is worthwhile when the results can be replicated.
Right. We've said it.
This is nothing. I mean, what Eric was talking about with the moral licensing thing, that's a good point. It's something worth considering. But the findings of the study itself, without subsequent studies backing it up, are meaningless.
I'm pretty sure that if you repeated
a lot the story, of a lot of people who do studies have an objective. It is one of my problems with studies is they'll do one study and they have objective. For example, people who are trying to prove that there are no such thing as bisexual men, they did a study and they tested men and women and they said gay men and straight men they wanted for this study. And they should, and the basically results of the study are, look, there are no bisexual men because none of these men were turned on by, none of these straight men were turned on by gay porn, and
right.
None of these bisexual
that's
men.
A bias.
I mean, none of these gay men were turned on by straight porn.
Right. That's a
their,
bias.
Their
study.
Objective was to try and disprove bisexual men by getting straight and gay men instead of getting bisexual men.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. What you're talking about, yes, that is a problem with this study.
Yeah.
And by itself, it means nothing.
See, that's
that's the whole point of that. That's the other part of the scientific method is peer review. This study, these flawed studies, they don't stand up to honest scrutiny, which is why they get weeded out.
Right. But
that's what I'm talking about.
So
like,
I kind of want to talk about more or less
so many of those studies
because I didn't care about the study.
Yeah, but
they get reported in the news is like this is a fact. Like this is a study. Like that's one thing.
That's a different thing, man. That's media bias. Like they run with something.
There's media bias.
Not necessarily media bias so much as media sensationalizing stuff.
Yeah, that's true too. There's both. I mean,
And they do that for every study.
I agree with what Moria was saying for the most part, but I think sensible studies like this. I think this is a sensible study that can be repeated. The only problem,
maybe it can, but until it is,
right.
We can't say it. It's indicative of anything.
I agree, but I think this is a good segue into the moral licensing issue, and I think it can be repeated. But the problem is money. Like, it takes money for these studies. Like, you don't just get this thing together and it doesn't cost any money. You have to have money for everything. So, maybe it's not – I mean, the way I feel is the authors of this particular study made their point because they pointed the compass at moral licensing.
Well,
right?
Here's – the only qualm I have with that is that the result – points toward something that we're predisposed to agree with, so we should be even more skeptical.
No, I agree, but I honestly think like there was no malintent in this study at all.
And the thing is, you are probably true. You're probably right, but
I agree with
the conclusion doesn't make it a good study.
I think most studies, when people are going into them, they have no malintent.
Right. Most studies.
I don't think like they're thinking like biased, but I think that happens a lot of the time though.
I don't know. Mug, you do have a point because it sounds like I'm just pining for this study. Like I could care less about this fucking study,
And that's the thing. It's like
Frank in the study.
I didn't even want to talk about the study. I wanted to talk about moral licensing. You got on a tangent.
So what, Eric? We got time to talk about it.
It's closely related. But I think it's just you have to be aware of your own confirmation bias, and that's kind of what I'm trying to fight against.
So what?
But anyway,
what about
go back
this
to the
moral licensing? Eric, what else you want to talk about on this moral licensing?
I just wanted to discuss. Well, have you ever observed somebody like behave this way?
I think we can see examples of that in everyday life. I mean, look at politicians. Like they're.
I just want to know if this behavior that carries from childhood to adulthood, which is why you see it a lot.
I think you see that a lot with privileged people. I'm not going to say white privilege. I'm just going to say privilege because I don't want to.
You mean like financially privileged?
Yeah, financially privileged people.
White people.
No,
Dude,
The numbers would say that, Mug, but I did not. There's plenty of ethnic people that are privileged as well. But I think you see that quite a bit with people of wealth. They think they're doing the right thing by not giving a bum a dollar. You know what I mean? Like there's a little
every
bit
time
of that.
I see somebody begging for dollars. If I don't give them money, I feel terrible afterwards.
Yeah,
if that's just me or if if I see somebody asking for money, if I've got a dollar, at least a dollar, I have to give it to them.
Yeah. I think
because if they're out there asking for money, they need it more than I do.
Not necessarily. There are a lot of fakers, especially around here.
I know there are a lot of fakers, but like just anytime I've ever he looks too rich or something like that, or like maybe I don't know.
Some guy in some surprisingly new looking stuff. I was like, dude, yeah, and who's clean shaven. Like who doesn't look at like you look?
Yeah.
You look like you've never had to worry about missing a meal.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we can.
When I see somebody like maybe that they're toothless or something like that, and I'm thinking maybe they're getting this for meth. I'm like, if they're out there begging on the street to get the meth, like maybe they need that little bit of joy in their life. You know, like if you're in that desperate situation, like, all right. Look, you need to buy more than I do.
We've been talking about money. We've been talking about kids. So I think this is a good way to end this discussion. Yeah.
Basically, what this whole show has been mounting up to is Frank looking to find out where he can buy a kid, or maybe sell one of his kids.
Sell one of my kids. Sell my kids, dude.
I was gonna say he's got two. He probably wants one.
Sell them both, dude. Why stop at one? But I think we can end this discussion.
He'll get his. He'll get Whiffix.
Frank Whiffix has asked if I've their kids before. I was like, no, hell no.
All right, check this out.
I can barely afford to support myself. I can't support kids. Look,
I think it was
Hey, Whiffix, Frank found the get-rich scheme. You want to get pregnant?
I think Weiland put in a tweet which kind of sums everything up. We talked about kids. We talked about privilege. We talked about money. He says, this is from Deadpool on Twitter. He says, dear little boy who wants to see my movie, no. You can't see it. It's for big boys and girls. Fuck you. Your mom's a whore. Love, Deadpool. So there you go.
Yeah, I have to see that movie.
I love shit like that, man. This is pretty funny.
Yeah, so. The way that they've had Ryan Reynolds doing all that weird promo stuff.
Yeah.
Weird like the meta promo stuff has been really really impressive.
All right, guys.
Like,
I think that's
getting him for the original like role of Deadpool. Like was. Like, oh my God, this is a coup, and then they wasted it. The fact that they've maybe made up for that mistake, like, I'm excited.
Yeah. I don't know about – I think this
it's too
is a
bad
better...
the Deadpool game sucks.
Yeah, the Deadpool game does suck. But all right, guys, I think that's going to do it for this week's show. Mug, do you have any plugs?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at Moriamug, MoriyaMug.
All right. Eric, your plug, sir.
You can find me on Twitter at EricRPG, and I have a YouTube channel called Funny T-Man. And I'm actually considering moving to Dailymotion because apparently YouTube's being fuckers again making it hard for people to monetize their videos.
Yeah, most likely.
And you can find reviews I've written on sites like totallygn.com, gametactics.com, vardnetwork.com, AustGamers.com. I'm going to be putting up a review of A Boy and His Blob for the PC there whenever awesome. I can get around to playing it again and then writing it up.
Yeah, all right.
You don't have anything coming for
Boston. And there's also bostonbestcreate.com.
Okay. I was about to ask about that.
I wasn't finished.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right. What else, Eric?
I'm sorry.
I think that's all I have to say. All
right. Breakman, your
follow plugs. Break_man and at RP Grinders.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, yes. This is a PSA for homie discounts, so I guess I could have included. But Nintendo is doing an eShop sale, and one of the games is Earthbound, and you can get it for, I think, $6.
Oh, good game.
Nice.
For $6. Yeah.
Not bad.
Love that. Yeah. That's a good one. Go see The Revenant. I think it's a really good movie. Support us at RP Grinders. I think Break already mentioned that. My Twitter account is at Frank Branches, which I'm mostly a voyeur on Twitter. I'm not a super
I'm too
active.
Busy playing a game for a few to look at Twitter.
I very rarely look at it. But if you
it's a time shot. Waster. If you spend time looking at it, you can't stop sometimes.
If you
I have to pull myself away.
I promise if you give me a shout on Twitter, I will respond to you. So at Frank Branches, at Arpy Grinders. If you want to know what my lovely wife is up to, check out at Real Whippix. We are the – well, she is the host of a show called Werewithal, all about werewolves and horror.
Werewolves. Woo. Werewolves.
Yeah. And it's a fun show, and we should be recording tonight sometime about I don't know. We'll be doing something probably tonight, so look for that. I think that's about it.
I think that was a big fuck you from Frank, by the way, Mario. He's like, fuck you, I'm going on with this.
Right. You guys always interrupt.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. So.
You guys always have a way of interrupting my plugs. I try to get them in right away. But all right. Until next week, I think that's it. It was a fun show, everybody. Thanks, everybody in chat. I think Wyland was in there, SMT, Gripper, Dungeon Buster. Thank you guys so much. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you guys back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, guys.
'No.
I hung up on Mars.
Oh, no.